Welcome to the New Life Help Now podcast, where we give you professional help for your life now. We specialize in equipping you with usable life relationship tools that will help you in the workplace and at home. You'll find valuable information that will help you find peace with others and with yourself when you're all alone. Without further ado, the Life Help Now podcast. Alrighty, welcome. Today is February 23rd, 2015, and we've just been having a good time before we hit this record button here in the Life Help Now studios, and but we're loving it. Things are good. My name, My name is Darren Dixon, and we have Miss Brenda Dixon. She is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's my mom, and she's pretty awesome, if you ask me. And I'm not biased. I just speak things the way they are. Yeah. So, we've been talking the past few calls about, or these aren't calls. We started with conference calls, and now we're kind of moved to podcasts. So, the title of this one, this podcast, is Awkward Relationships. So what can you tell us about awkward relationships and how to make them easier, less awkward, or healthy, or good, or whatever social work people tell us we're supposed to? Take this awkwardness away.
That's probably the biggest portion of my practice. Via phone consultation, via my offices in Nashville, Tennessee. That's probably the largest portion of it. I give you an example. I'll have a person come in, and they'll tell me who done them wrong. And it could be anybody. And it's very serious to them. Of course it is. And they don't know what to do except to tell me how awful they are. And they will describe this other person. And this other person is, they're wrong in my client's eyes. They're wrong. And many times they are wrong. I'd have to agree with them.
Right.
However, as a therapist, I cannot help but see where the person who is the wrong person, I cannot help but see where they're coming from. And I can show the client that's come into my office what that person is doing and what's, you know, where they're coming from.
Right.
And that helps the client. It does not help them to feel better, but it helps a little bit to see what the motivation is.
Right. A greater understanding of the situation.
Mm-hmm. And the client has to, and this is the hard part, the client has to see what they are doing that creates the arena for the other person to come in and do what they're doing.
What creates the reaction, the undesirable reaction for the other person.
Yes. And most people don't like that part of it.
Yeah, there's some accountability and there's some change involved.
Yes.
But
yes,
that's why they're coming to use, because
yes,
they want the situation to change.
Yes. And it's, to me, it's really interesting to see the development of that process, to see them begin to understand,
sure,
that it's not all the other person and it's not all them. And this is what I tell most people if they are with me very long. I tell them your goal is to not harm yourself and not harm the other person, not hurt yourself and not hurt the other person when you're communicating.
That's good. That's really huge, because if someone gets offended easy, the first thing they want to do, or or I think what's natural is to retaliate.
Yes.
And kind of either as defense, as if offensive defense, you know, or just as like a jerk knee reaction. I could definitely see that.
And some people want to match the other person. He did this to me, so I'm going to do that right back to him.
Right.
It's just, I mean, that's what you learn in first grade. it's a common reaction. And I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just using these people as examples. And if you as a listener are listening to this and you say, I have this happen in my life, well then listen up, because there's a way out of this. There's a way to really feel good about yourself and feel good about the other person. It really is possible.
Well, but that's easier said than done, because I'm sure if there's an issue there, the person that's like your client probably thinks the other person is either a bully or doing something they're not supposed to do or out of line, or they're the problem.
Yes.
And
that is what they think. And of course, we're talking in general terms. Again, when I'm working with someone, I'm not general.
Well, give us some specific. Give me some meat. Give me some meat and potatoes. Like somebody that comes in your office. Let me think of a situation. Let me see. I do some websites. I design some websites, and I dabble in quite a few things. And I talk to my client, and my client says, okay, here's what I want. I want this, this, and this. And I give them what they want. But then they come back to me and say, no, this isn't what I want. I want this, this, and this. And then I say, well, this is what you wrote down. I'm trying to think of a good example, but with me, I've been on both sides of that for so long.
You have the solutions.
That I write everything, and I'm so detail-oriented on, say, okay, this is what you're going to get. I write everything down. You know,
that's a little different.
There's an agreement, and I'm very specific. I give them examples. So I guess that's not a good idea.
What if we have a client that comes in and says, I do everything my husband tells me to. I do everything. I pay the bills. I cook the meals. I take care of the kids. I do everything. And my inclination is, what do you do for you? Well, I don't really have time to do anything for me. I said, do you see how something's out of balance? You are really powerless in this relationship. And we all need power. And this is personal power. This is not beating on your chest power. This is personal power, that when you speak, people understand and listen to you. That's the kind of power I'm talking about. And when someone else speaks to you, you listen to them and understand them. Or if you don't understand them, you carry on a conversation so that you can get to the place of understanding. That's power. But if you are always doing what somebody else wants all the time, then you have no power. You don't even have any control. Or let's say you're the other person. You're the one that doesn't do anything. You wait till your meal's served, and you wait till the bills are paid, and everything's done for you. And if somebody doesn't do it to your liking, and you criticize and say, you did not, you told me you were going to fix pizza on Super Bowl night, and you did not do it last year. Does that mean you're not going to do it this year? Well, that's critical. They have too much power. So you have to balance out your personal power.
So what do you do about that? Let's say if that's a husband and wife thing, and the wife does everything and the husband doesn't, or things are out of balance, how would the wife handle a situation like that?
She has to get on the other side to find her own power. And when I say that, what I mean is she has to start balancing her life out. And the best way is she's going to have some time to do what she needs to do. And maybe he fixes a meal one night a week or two nights a week. Maybe you train the children to fix, I don't know, again, we're talking general. If they're 5, 7, and 9 years old, teach the 9 and 7 year old to fix, I don't know, something.
Quesadillas.
Okay, something. And the 5 year old, teach them to put the silverware on the table. So they are learning to have personal power. You are learning to get personal power. And if dad comes in and starts jerking everybody around, then you speak from your personal power by saying, I see you're upset. What is it that's upsetting you? Now she gives him the floor, and he has to speak whatever he needs to speak. If he's critical, she does not agree with it. She says, I don't agree with that. I don't like your tone of voice. I won't be talked to that way. And I'll show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and sit in the car. I'm just using that as an example. Maybe she doesn't sit in the car. Maybe she sits on the porch. And I'll be back in 30 minutes. What about my dinner? Well, I'm not going to listen to this. You're not going to talk that way to me. So when you use that tone of voice, I may be back in an hour. Now, does this make sense? She is using her power to say what she will do, and she's not criticizing him. And he will have to adjust to that, or he isn't going to eat that night. Now, I gave a lot of information mm-hmm. in a short amount of time, but you asked me, how do you get personal power? You get personal power by speaking from what it is you can do and you will do and what you won't do. If you get offended, it's like if you're playing a game, you lose points. You just lost. But if you're playing the game and you do those three things that I just said, you win. And the goal is to win-win. It's always to win-win. He wins, you win. You win, he wins. You know, it just always works that way.
For a place of personal power, I guess everybody has to decide what is, you know, when you're deciding your personal power, I guess there's things in each relationship that's safe to do at first and safe to not. You know, I'm thinking just from being here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, where here in Tennessee, there's a lot of, you know, the man is the head of the household, and if somebody did something like that, it may cause, you know, like say, I'm not going to be, you know, like demanding things like that. I'm going to go out in the car. I mean, is that bad? Is the man completely out of line for that? Or could he think of that as being rebellious against him? I'm trying to look at this situation and understand
She would be talking from the point of view that she's going to sit in the car or sit on the porch to cool off and to give him time to cool off. She's right. Not being rebellious, and she's not storming out. She's staying very level.
Right.
If he's critical, it gives him time to not criticize. And so that's why she uses that tone of voice. And I may not have explained that very well, but that I'm trying to explain without saying too much in these podcasts. So What I'm saying is, she says, where she's coming from, the reason she's coming from that place, and what she's going to do about it.
Because that is a healthy way to respond.
Like, it's not hurting herself.
Right.
And she's not hurting him. He can choose to do what he likes with what she said.
Right. And like you said, a lot of it has to do with the tone.
Most of it is the tone.
Of her voice.
And his voice too.
Right. Well, if he's out of line, I mean, chances are he's out of line to make her say this. Because he's, like you said, that he was critical or something. So if that's the case, that's how what she can do to diffuse that situation so it doesn't escalate into something worse. Because she doesn't retaliate. She stops any retaliation dead. Said, okay, well, I'm not going to be talked to like that. And I need some time by myself so I can just kind of cool down and process some things. And right now I need some me time.
Yeah. And I'm going to help the situation by removing myself for a little 15 minutes, 5 minutes or whatever. And it's very powerful. Because a lot of people are fearful to do that. They're fearful that he may, or she, you know, it's not just all a guy thing at all. It could be the female. But they're fearful that that person might, I don't know, throw something or yell or cut them off some way that's negative. And so, but the client that is trying to be empowered, and it could be on either side. It could be the critical one, or it could be the one that's not critical. They're trying to be empowered. They just have to know the right way to speak. And the right way to speak is, what is it you're upset about? What's the what is it that's making you upset without blaming anybody?
Right.
And what are you going to do about it? And I always say, what are you going to do about it? And they go, oh, what can I do? Well, you can walk out of the kitchen.
So would the client or the female, would she say that to him? Why are you mad? And would she ask him, what are you going to do about it?
Never.
What would she say?
She would say what she's going to do. And then she comes back. She just comes back in the kitchen.
Right.
And if he continues, or she, whoever the person is, continues to be upset and belligerent, then she says, well, I guess I'll have to go back. And that gives them an opportunity to talk about it, or that person leaves again.
Or they have time to think about it. Still.
That's what the process. There's a processing moment.
Right. So things don't escalate without people thinking and getting out of control.
Yes.
You can actually think about what's going on in the situation and truly assess your feelings and also assess the situation. So in that way, you can address it from a mature or a more controlled
thing. That person that left cannot come back with why questions. They cannot do it. It doesn't work. They have to stay with themselves, with what's going on with themselves. And the other person...
And why can't they do why questions?
It 100% of the time makes the other person defend themselves.
And you don't want to get
I don't want to be with somebody that's defending themselves.
So when the person comes back, they need to stay away from why. And if they're staying away from why, where are they going? What's a safe place for them to be?
Well, you can ask another question. You can ask a what question.
For example.
What shall we do for supper? What is it that you're upset about? What is the solution for tonight?
And why, what's different about that than, he says, what, like, I'm trying to think of.
This is what's different.
What's different between what and why? Because some of those questions, when you said what, you could very easily slide a why in there. What's the difference, or how does it make the other person feel?
The difference is you're defusing the other person. You're allowing the other person time to defuse.
And what does what?
I don't know what it does, but it works. I don't know the chemical reaction of it, but it does work.
Well, I could definitely see that.
And the other person doesn't have to feel like they're the bad guy.
Right.
That's the whole, nobody wants to feel like the bad guy. That's why some people do criticize.
So when you say why, it could be maybe interpreted as like accusatory.
It is. Why'd you do that?
Right.
And I didn't say this, but the tone of a person's voice makes a difference. What are you upset about? What's making you upset?
Right.
Versus, what are you upset about?
More compassion instead of mm-hmm. attack.
And that's the goal of everybody. Be it child, adult, the whole goal is to have their own power to be effective.
Well, I could definitely see that, because if not, you're helpless, and it's like you have no place.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't have any power, that means you're not important over anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that all of us were created for a purpose and to do something. And if we have no power, then we can't do anything other than be a slave. And I believe that, you know, we weren't created to be slaves. I think you really struck on some stuff. It kind of took me back, because I was thinking about some of the things that you were saying, and I was trying to picture him. And I was also trying to picture him in, you know, in my life with my family, you know, and I was trying to understand and apply some of this stuff to my life and me being the head of the family. And if my wife was saying stuff and to me, what I would say to her, and if she said it, but some of your responses, you know, I was thinking about them with like a different tone of voice. And like what you said, tone is really everything. I mean, if my wife gets, like, if we have an argument or we have something and she comes back at me, I've get this fighting defense, you know, like, okay, you know, and just mentally in my mind. But if she comes back to me soft, then it shows me that she's in submission and she's not attacking. Then it's like, you know, I love this woman, you know, she's awesome. It's like, if she's not fighting me, then that means I don't have to defend myself. So my guard can come down. Then we can actually communicate effectively. And if there's an issue, we can resolve it. And I think that, you know, we really touched on some good stuff today. We're already running out of time again. You know, this was a really good podcast today. In conclusion, is there anything what can you kind of summarize that somebody can work with? Because we talked about some stuff today that can be heated, or has been heated in the past with people's relationships. And if we can get a hold of this, boy, we can really diffuse in some fights in families, and we can have more peace in the family. And I think this is a really good topic. So in conclusion, I'll kind of turn it over to you and say, what can we focus on right now in closing?
Well, I just think that if anybody is upset about something, there's something going on within them internally. It's really easy to blame other people. That's the natural, normal thing. Well, if he had only or if she'd only.
Right. Yes.
It's easy to do that. So for yourself, look at what your reaction is and start there. And once you do that, things will start to fall into place, because you don't have to, but it's easier if you can think, I want to say this in such a way that I don't hurt myself.
Right, yes.
I want to say this in such a way that I don't hurt my dear sweet dad.
Right.
I want to say this in such a way that I get my message across and we're compatible. My boss, whomever. So to summarize it, I would just say, if you're upset, it's something in you first.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Today's podcast is a really strong one. I like it. I think there's some really good stuff here. And I think that on our next few podcasts, we might have to do a series or something on this, you know, relationships in the, maybe relationships in the marketplace, relationships in the workplace, relationships in the kitchen, you know, at home. It's like we can kind of touch on some things. Well, we appreciate everybody. Send us a review. If you're listening to this on iTunes, write a review for us. If you've got questions, please email those to support@lifehelpnow, and we will include those in our future shows. If you've got an issue, write down a paragraph and email it to me. I'd love to hear it, and we'll go through and we'll pick through those, and we'll start talking about some of those on the podcasts. We want to have podcasts that are relevant to you. It's lifehelpnow.com. So we want to help you with your life right now with relationship skills. And send them in. You've got a professional here. She is, Miss Brenda, is a licensed clinical social worker, and we'll answer your questions online. Or if it's something a little bit more pressing, she's also available for doing phone consultation. And just send us an email from our website, and we'll get in contact with you, and we can book a session for you or a series of sessions to get you on the right track and, you know, help you, give you some life tools, relationship tools to help you with your relationships quicker. So until next time, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for our supporters. And God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Life Help Now podcast. Please subscribe, and if you like what you hear, write a review and share it with a friend. Visit our website at www.lifehelpnow.com and send us an email and questions on what you would like answered on future podcasts. Miss Brenda Dixon is also available for phone consultations. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.